those are listening to this, I'm here in Zionsville, Indiana, which is just next door to our capital city of Indianapolis here in central Indiana. We've lived here about 30 years. Well, the story of how I became a Christian, I often study Paul's letters to Timothy. As I was thinking about this with my faith journey, I thought of what Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy. Paul told Timothy, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may fill with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." This is especially dear to me because my mother told me that I first attended church at 2 weeks old. Later in Paul's letter, he talks about how Timothy had been in the faith since an infant, and that pretty much describes me. So I certainly owe a great debt of gratitude to my grandmother, both grandmothers actually, had two grandmothers, and my parents, my mother, my father. Really, from a young age, I was surrounded by lots of mentors. And as I think about my Christian walk, that's kind of the term that I think about, mentoring. And I just had so many dozens of mentors in the 71 years of my life. So I grew up in a large family. There were six of us, six children. I'm the oldest of six children. And we never failed to attend church in this little community of Mitchell in southern Indiana. And was mentored by many people there. I was baptized at age 14. I really thought about baptism for a couple of years before that, and maybe some of your audience can relate to this. In the culture where I grew up in this little town, I thought that when you were baptized, you had to go up in front of people, and our baptistry was elevated, and you stood up in front of people, and I was very shy. I was scared. And I also have a little phobia about being underwater. But I would describe myself as a disciple of Christ since I was age 14, Indiana, when I was baptized. And I was very fortunate to be around a minister there. Again, it was a small church. So I was very fortunate to be mentored by that minister who really took an interest in me and my brother. My brother and I, five, four surviving siblings. And when I was growing up, my oldest younger brother and I were baptized along with one of our friends. So kind of safety in numbers, standing up in front of all those people. And so we were all baptized on the same evening. In that town, a family that donated couple of hundred acres of parkland for a Bible camp. The Spring Mill Bible Camp was started by Brother Roy Van Tassel, wonderful man. One of the things that Brother Van Tassel did to mentor us, my brother and some of my friends, he would have us work on the camp and get cabins ready. Sometimes he would call and say, John, I want you and Jay's one of my younger brothers. I'm going to pick you up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. I'll pick you up at 7 a.m. and I'm going to pick up Gary and Tom, my friends, and we're going to cover the entire town of Mitchell advertising for the upcoming gospel meeting. Well, again, as very shy, this was something that was, just to be frank, terrifying for me. And so Brother Van Tassel would arrive at the house at 7 a.m. and we'd pile in the car. We'd go into the center of town and he would drop me off in one quarter of the town and my brother in another quarter and the other boys. And we would spend all morning just walking down the street, knocking on doors. And Brother Van Tassel was very purposeful. He knew what he was doing. He was making disciples out of me, my brother, and my friends. You know, I went away to Purdue University to study mechanical engineering. The university experience was much different than life in the small town. This was in 1969, early 70s, so in the United States. This was a very tumultuous time because of the Vietnam War. The culture was really changing here. Government institutions being challenged, protests, anti-war demonstrations. You know, I didn't get caught up in that, but I certainly was exposed to that. That was another testing. One of your questions is about perseverance, which I will get to. And again, I was fortunate that I was a part of a campus ministry that was very strong and supported by the Elmwood Church of Christ there in Lafayette and wonderful people. And so I was there for 4 years, very active in the student ministry. And then in that ministry, I met my wife, Janice. In fact, just yesterday, the first time in probably 30 or 40 years, went back to the campus ministry center in which we first met. And the campus minister there today presently invited us to come back. And they have a wall in their basement where alumni sign. He had invited us to come back up and tour the house that was purchased about 50 years ago and sign the wall. So that was kind of a neat experience to go back where we first met and were in ministry together there and sign that wall, which we did that yesterday afternoon. I graduated from Purdue, and I chose to work for a company. And so again, as a member of that church, I was mentored and very purposely mentored by the elders there. And so I was asked to do a variety of ministries. The most significant was I was asked to be the treasurer of the church. I was co-treasurer for a number of years. I knew that I was going to have to be transferred to this corporate center in order to advance. And so I was very transparent with the elders there at Lafayette, but they still wanted me to become an elder. And so in late 1990, I was installed as an elder there. And then late 91, I was transferred. So then I was an elder there for maybe a year. But during that time, that was such a great experience for me because of the great men of great faith, service that I was able to work under there. And I just owe such a great debt of gratitude to those men. I have been blessed to grow up in a family, a Christian family. Mom and dad, and to grandma and grandpa, and to aunts and uncles and cousins. I'm in my life now. All of my siblings are faithful Christians, active in their individual congregations around the country. We're all spread out now. We're all close. In fact, just here in a few weeks, we're meeting Colorado for a sibling reunion, which we do every year. We're all grounded in the faith, and that's all due to the family and churches where they all have grown and been mentored. I don't take that for granted. I know how unique that is, and I certainly indebted to them and grateful to God for the situation that he placed me in over the years. And then when I transferred here to Indianapolis to Corporate Center, that was in 1991, that's when I became a member of the North Central Church of Christ, where I've been for 30-plus years. Became an elder there in January of 1994 and have been serving various elderships. And currently, we have four elders, three men serving with me, and we are extremely close. It's a great fellowship, something that's extremely important and encouraging to me. Then we have Keith, Amy, and Lizzie are our staff. Keith is our senior minister, been with us about 2 years, and then Amy has been with us for about 3 years. She's our connections minister. Lizzie joined us last year as our student discipleship minister. She oversees our kindergarten through senior and high school youth and student ministry. So we're all a great team, and that's been encouraging to me. The second question was about perseverance. From Romans 5, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Paul wrote those words, and I certainly don't want to say that I have endured any kind of the suffering that Apostle Paul did. Obviously, we know as believers that many of our Christian brothers and sisters in various parts of the world are undergoing great suffering for their faith. My sufferings, well, have certainly not been to the extent of many of our brothers and sisters around the world, and perhaps some listening to this video. But as an elder, that is what you really sign up for. Being an elder can be an extremely rewarding experience, as it has been for me over the years, but it can also be an extremely frustrating experience. And again, as I was thinking about this over the past couple of days, when you think about what Paul again told Timothy in chapter 3 about Timothy was going into Asia Minor, Ephesus, that area of what's now Western Turkey, he was going into a hostile environment that was an area that was very strong in idolatrous worship, the Artemis cult. Here's what he said to Timothy. Whoever aspires to be an overseer or elder desires a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well, see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. We look at those characteristics and say, well, those could be a checklist. But I think it's a mistake to look at that as a checklist. I think when you look at that, and what I have found over my 29 years at North Central and then the year at the Elmwood Church, if you don't have those characteristics, you're not going to do well. You're not going to serve well as an elder. So all of those attributes need to be looked at in that way. And the one that strikes me is about your wife. There is no way that I would have persevered over the many trials that I've had, and I've had many. You know, I've not had any more than I'm sure my fellow elders at other congregations around the world have had. But without my wife, I would not be here. That's just the fact. It's so important to have a faithful wife that listens, encourages, sometimes rebukes, corrects, love, and my wife Janice, that describes her. I would not be on this video here 29 years after my first appointment as an elder without her. So the wives are absolutely critical in perseverance, because there can be some really low times in serving in this way. I also think of a passage in Jude. I just wrote this down. It's from Jude chapter 1, a call to persevere. Dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow your natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ bring you eternal life. So that really is our call to persevere, to pray, maintaining the faith, being in the Word, having people that love you and encourage you and are not afraid to criticize, be lovingly critical of things, and people that will in love tell you, John, have you thought about maybe you should do something this way, or why did you do that? And that's something that you have to have. You have to have people around you, your fellow elders, friends in the church, your family, that can give you loving advice, and you need to listen to that, because you need to have confidence that their lives are being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not the only one being led by the Spirit. I'm surrounded by people. I want to surround myself by people being led by the Holy Spirit. As that passage in Jude, we're waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to return, bring us to eternal life. That really is that's the basis. That's the basis for perseverance, staying with it. Elders have to make hard decisions. They have to make unpopular decisions. I guess I've been guided, again, by examples that I've seen in my life of other, not just elders, but in my professional career. I spent most of my career in managing people, having people report to me. You often have to deliver hard feedback, hard news. That's something that you have to do. Again, you do it not harshly. That's part of leadership to do that. And we're taking the high view that we know what the big picture is, that we'll all be together in heaven. That's my call to persevere. And so I guess if I had a prayer, it would be that God would give you a sense of perseverance, of duty, and that's part of it. When you agree to be an elder, you assume a duty and you push forward. You don't do it in an autocratic way or lording it over them, as the scriptures say, but you do it in a loving manner. There are things that have to be done. Sometimes you just have to get yourself ready and, you know, do it. Let me just lead you in prayer, a short prayer here for those of you who are perhaps in leadership or not. We all can be leaders, whether we're appointed elders or deacons or preachers or teachers. We all can be leaders, again, guided by the Holy Spirit. Father, as I'm here on this video call here in Indiana with those around the world listening to this, Father, I just pray, and I first praise you as our Creator. and our sustainer. You've created us for the only purpose of glorifying your name, and we pray that whatever our role, whether we are a member of a congregation, a teacher, a minister, an elder, whatever, that we would be guided by the Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to be transformed into your image, into the image of Jesus Christ, not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do it not for ourselves, we do it for the sake of the world. Father, help us to be ambassadors, ambassadors of Christ to those around us, so we may proclaim Jesus to the world. I pray this in Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen. Also, I thank you so much, Brother John, for sharing your life story and praying for us, both those who are Christians and those who are not yet Christians and are listening to this broadcast. Is just the love of God reaching out to truly understand the purpose of life and the mission of life, and see an example, a real example in John here and in the Indianapolis Church in North Central. So thank you so much for sharing and praying. God bless you for your life and service in Christ. We know God is bringing those who are seeking Him to this recording. He deserves to be worshipped in every city, in every household, and establish His kingdom in such a way it will continue until the end of this world. Because those who believed what happened 2,000 years ago through the life of Jesus Christ, the anointed Yeshua, that He is the Son of God, and following Him as a disciple, He leads us in this life with peace and joy and love for the eternal life, having that confidence that after we pass away from this physical life, there's a place for us in heaven, gives us hope, and gives us great friendships here on earth with our family and friends in a such way that we can be the best versions of ourselves and bring the best fruit and feel fulfilled and knowing what happens after we die. So we praise God for these blessings. Every Church of Christ, we are ready to receive those who want to dedicate themselves to the kingdom of heaven. I want to replace what's not working with what's working, to repent, to transform, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they're baptized, the sins are washed away, and they receive the Holy Spirit as a gift, as a guarantee of the salvation, a helper, a counselor, that helps us as we've been cleansed from sin to continue clean, to be holy as He's holy. Why? To fulfill the one another commandments, loving one another, giving to one another what we need, praying one for another, and encouraging one another daily, eating together, praising God, and making disciples. So God bless you for listening, and write a comment. What did you like the best? Or if you have any questions, on RelateForever.com.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chris. God bless you.